Hello, everyone, and welcome to Discussing Trek. Today, we are reviewing Season 2, Episode 5 of Strange New Worlds, titled Charades. Like always, I'm your host, Clarence, and I'm joined by my fellow co-host, slash Trekkie, starting with none other than Cal Jones. How you doing, man?
I am glad to be back. I missed last week, but as always, glad to be back with you guys.
Yes, sir. Glad to have you back, sir. And also on the podcast, we have Larry Irby. How you doing, man?
Glad to be back also. I missed last week, so.
Glad to have you back as well. Of course, what we do here on this podcast is review a lot of Star Trek.
Open a channel.
Open a channel.
Open a channel.
Open a channel.
Open a channel to all decks.
Going to get into a bit of news right off, and the news is that the actors are on strike. It's a huge thing, and I'm sure we all have thoughts. Larry, what do you think about the situation we have going on in Hollywood?
Well, I honestly do side with the actors and the writers. I mean, we enjoy this stuff, but you have to realize there are people. Robert Downey Jr. said it best. He said that people hear this and they immediately think of people like us who are in all these movies and everything. He said, this is the people who are in the background. These are the people who are in scenes, who do weekly TV shows and spots. He said, those are the people that are, you know, in danger of being, you know, are being taken advantage of. And, you know, it was a, you know, it was very nice. There was a lot more to what he said, but that was the gist of it.
Yeah, indeed. And I will read this bit of this article from The Verge, which says, with both writers and actors on strike, Hollywood's productions have been ground to a halt. Actors have walked off sets and writers haven't been working for months. At the center of it all are two types of technology that have had a major impact on the way content is made, AI and streaming. Now, I don't know if I'm totally, and maybe I'm out of line speaking about this, but I don't know if the AI part is such a big deal just yet. Cal, does that give you pause for the future about AI in movies, TV, and the digital rights of these actors?
So we could go back in the past about 20 years ago and we could have a conversation about digital media versus CDs and, the traditional records, cassettes, et cetera, and so forth. Here we are 20 years later and digital media is just part of everyday life. That's a little bit different in the sense of that's already made. You didn't have a Taylor Swift that was an AI Taylor Swift or a Whitney Houston or a whoever you are, fill in the blank. So you still had the original, you know, artist. I think there's pause a little bit, but I think their pause is more so as what is responsible usage and is taking my likeness and using it indefinitely, the same thing as taking my likeness and using it one time only. Mm. Who knows?
Yes, it's interesting. And also the kind of dispute is around streaming and the pay with streaming residuals and things like that. And I'll read another paragraph here from The Verge. Both writers and actors are fighting for contracts that prevent an AI from replacing them at their jobs, whether it's script writing or appearing as a background actor. They're also looking for better pay on streaming services. And we've been hearing the streaming service thing for a while. And it's kind of weird because I don't think any of us believe streaming services have found their footing just yet. So we're talking about getting paid from a service is not really making any money. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they can actually work that out.
So speaking of streaming services and residuals, I saw something and I wish that I could reference the YouTube video that I watched on this weekend. But basically, in a nutshell, what they were saying was in traditional media, let's take someone that was The Office that just popped into my head for a moment. You got residuals on The Office in part based upon syndication and the Nielsen ratings, which were things that were easily attainable from the public to see how much or how often something was viewed, et cetera, and so forth. The issue seemingly partly on the streaming is Netflix doesn't release their streaming on mm-hmm. how they say what's successful and what's not. So a $1,000 residual may be a $100 residual. And you can't check that, I don't think, because you have to assume Disney Plus, Paramount Plus, fill in the blank plus, is being honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely interesting to see how they would pivot. Even thinking of going back to music, like you said, how artists have been raked over the coals so much with music and not really being properly paid for their work. So to see that same thing kind of happen in the TV space is a little alarming. But thanks for everybody being in the chat. We have Wingrace Rittany, Facebook user. So it's awesome to have you all here. Wingrace says something pretty interesting here. He says that if the strike goes on too long or long enough, I'm thinking we might see some of the Trek shows popping up on CBS regular TV. You know, I just saw a show that's a streaming show pop up. It may have been Yellowstone mm-hmm. pop up on regular TV, which it's going to be weird to see if these services can even survive if they're not producing new content for the next year and a half. You know, if they're stopping right now, it's going to be like a year out where we probably see like a lag or the lack of content dropping. And with Paramount giving away one of their complete seasons in Prodigy, it's going to be interesting to see if we can even kind of survive this whole thing.
One other thing I would like to mention real quick, this is really historic. I think it's either 43 or 63, not sure which 20 or, you know, 20 years difference, but let's just say it's 63 years since both writers and actors have been on strike at the same time.
Yeah,
you're right, Kyle. It was 60.
63? Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. Not cool, but it's cool that I was right. I always like being right.
I just wanted to say, I hope there's result, because I know it's easy for people to always sit back and say, oh, look at how much money they're making. But I don't think people truly understand these actors and people you think don't make the money. You think it's just like football players and stuff. Yeah. People assume because you hear this guy's getting paid $40 million a year. Well, that's him. The average guy's getting paid $300,000, which is actually $100,000, which that's a lot of money. But when you have these people making billions of dollars and then sometimes crying poverty.
Oh, man. I wish I had the still. Somebody had a graphic of all the money the execs were making.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something, mm-hmm. something just crazy amounts of money. I mean, like multiple hundreds of billion of millions of dollars in the past few years. So yeah, it's just kind of, I guess it's like any industry, if I'm being honest, the people at the top get an exorbitant amount of money, but it's really, really crazy to see how much these guys are making.
Yep.
And a comment from Wingrace real quick here. Actors are on a big show these days, has 6 episodes. Back in the day, there were 24 episodes to rely on, which is true. I do agree with that. Yeah, so we're going to just go ahead and get right into our review of Charades, which I hope everybody enjoyed. And Randy says here, this was a fun episode. I can't wait to hear you guys' thoughts about it. I'm hoping the rest of the crew here had fun with it as well, because, man, watching this one again, it made me love it even more. And I thought I was going to be on the fence about it, if I'm being honest. But Charades was written by Catherine Lynn and Henry Alonzo Myers and was directed by Jordan Channing, or Canning, excuse me, directed by Jordan Canning. A shuttle accident leads to Spock's Vulcan DNA being removed by aliens, making him fully human and completely unprepared to face T'Pring's family during an important ceremonial dinner.
So for everyone listening, if you have not seen this episode of Star Trek Strange New Worlds, Charades, put us on pause, go out, watch the episode, come back, because from this moment forward, spoilers.
Spoilers.
Red alert. All hands stand to battle stations.
I'll give you the right.
You cannot destroy an undead.
At ease before you sprain something.
The spoiler warning has been dropped, and we are back to review this episode. And as always, we go right back to Mr. Jones for the beats of the episode. Sometimes serious, sometimes comedic. Honestly, you never know. Mr. Jones, what do you have for us this week, sir?
I have two, but they're short and they're sweet. The first one is the ears make the Vulcan, or do they? So that's my first one. And the second one is beware rituals or traditions overflowing with sarcasm.
Okay. All right. All right. Larry, high level thoughts of the episode, sir.
I have lots of thoughts. This episode was also, I'm really into the single standalone episodes that still connect to the overall narrative. Man, I love this episode. I really did. And I'll wait till we get farther in, because this episode tied into canon so well and expanded on things that we've always wondered about. But like I said, I'll get into that a little later.
Yeah, I definitely want to hear your thoughts in those regards, because I didn't see it branching out too much in the canon. But again, we'll get to your thoughts on that, because I would love to hear it. Mr. Jones, additional thoughts?
You know, I'm like you are, Clarence. I'm not versed in the original series lore, so I didn't understand how it might branch. That said, take away some of the scientific downfalls that I think it may have had, but this is sci-fi. I enjoyed it. I really, really had fun with it. I liked the characters. I liked the actors, and I did really, really enjoy it. There were some, the more my brain tries to examine the trope of what they did, it kind of falls apart, but I don't know if I mind that it fell apart.
Man, I don't know if it fell apart for me, man. For me, this episode was Nurse Chapel's relentless drive in her profession for a friend, which I really loved. And also seeing the thing we like to see in Trek from time to time, the fish out of water, and Spock as human in everything that entails. And also, I mean, do you have to give it up for the acting here? I just think the acting so meta layers on top of what Ethan Peck was doing in this episode, I thought was just simply amazing. And finally, before we get into more details, this is the comedy I like to see from Star Trek. Just such a well-written episode. The smirks, the jokes, the fish out of water. I mean, Captain Anson Mount just had to give a look, and I'm up here like about to die laughing. So, you know, I don't want to say the name of the other show that I know a lot of people love, but man, you have to give it up when the writing is this good in a comedy sense for a Star Trek episode. And it's not just slapstick, the low-hanging fruit type of laughs. But in that regard, this is one of the funniest episodes I've seen in a long time. And just really, really enjoyed it.
Didn't they say that the ship was on a rotation, that it wasn't a full crew? Didn't they make some comment to that?
I don't know if they said it was on a rotation. They said that they were going at sub impulse to take their time to get to Kirkova.
He did say something about being on a rotation to give people downtime. Like
downtime. So I'm thinking that maybe in this episode, and I agree with everything you said, Clarence, I think that they did probably rotate some people off, and everyone that was in this were all in the upper decks of the ship.
Shut up.
Maybe. Thinking.
You had to get that in there.
I really had to get there.
But as you mentioned, you know, rotations, downtime, we're headed toward Kirkov. In this Vulcan, this moon in the Vulcan system. What really kind of threw me off about this, like, if something so cool was going on in the Vulcan system, this moon, with, you know, this advanced medical civilization, it just surprised me that the Vulcans weren't already investigating this. It seemed like they kind of knew about this moon already, but it seemed like it wasn't being explored. Did that kind of surprise you, that this cool phenomenon is so close to Vulcan territory, or in Vulcan territory, the outskirts, as they said it, it wasn't being explored by anyone else? It took a Federation ship to come and do it.
Well, that was a plot device in order for a reason for the Enterprise to come to Vulcan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, it did seem kind of like, what? The Vulcans were in space way before we were, and they did. And then I just said, I don't care. This is a good episode.
Oh, man. So, of course, we have Spock and we have Nurse Chapel being the ones to have to go and investigate this phenomenon. And, you know, as I said up top, I thought that when we got human Spock, even in the preview, I thought I was just going to hate this to pieces. I thought it's going to be too far over the top. But we get to see Spock do all the things that bring me joy. I mean, up front, we see where he's cooking with Pike in Pike's kitchen, which is his quarters, by the way, with an awesome bathroom, I'll add. But he's cooking in Pike's quarters, and he can't even smell this particular plant that Pike was trying to, you know, get him to sample. So we get the turnaround, and we get to see Spock start to give this full gamut of emotions. Thoughts on Ethan Peck's portrayal of a human Spock?
Oh, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. The way he pulled it off, the way he just, everything was so, it was perfectly balanced in this sense. Like, I love that the one was him and Sam.
Oh
my God.
Golf club.
That was so good. You know, he's like brushing, like, you know, logical Vulcan Spock would just be it's an annoyance. Of course, I'm not emotional about it. I'll just wipe the crumbs off the table, throw it away, and I'm done. Come back a little bit more human Spock. Hey, don't forget to clean that up. Hey, Kirk, clean up your mess. And then I love it. But it was perfect. You know, he's like, don't test me, Kirk. I will break you.
But you know what that was? That was but that was all the times that Vulcan-inspired Spock had seen that and suppressed that anger.
Mm.
Yeah, and then having that inhibitions, you know, taken away, we got what you just said.
Oh, my God. You have no idea how hard I laughed. And I watched it twice. So I laughed just as hard the second time.
Oh, man. Was there an emotional moment for you, Cal, that really made you just golf clap for?
Oh, I love that.
Or punch the air.
That was laughable. I loved that. I just liked every scene that he was in because it felt like, and I feel this a lot when I see him, it's like he is always in his mind, he being Ethan Peck. It feels to me like he's always got in his mind Leonard Nimoy's Spock as a point of reference and reverence, that he doesn't stray too much from that, but yet he doesn't try to copy it. So it felt like he was trying to be that what I just described, plus his Spock as a human. And it just worked. And that's what was so cool about it. It just worked. But as far as the emotional moments for him, regardless of what species you are, don't come between a mother and her son.
And we'll get into that. Let me mention a few of my favorite moments. The bacon scene.
Yes.
Bacon is a phenomenon. We all love it. Well, most people love it. And to see Spock in the Star Trek universe just have utter joy over eating bacon. Love that.
Go ahead.
You know, I'm just going to the next one. Go ahead.
You know what? We're going to hear about that, though. You know, we're going to hear he's a vegetarian. Why would he be eating bacon? Hey, maybe it was synthesized bacon, so it's not real animal. I already saw that in a little post, so go ahead, sir.
It's vegetarian bacon.
Hey, it's a lot of stuff he's doing now that he wouldn't normally do. You know, like get a feeling when he's looking at Lon sitting right across from him while she's trying to talk reasoning to his crazy little brain there.
It's beyond
He's having
bacon.
Feelings. He's having feelings. Oh, man, that was so crazy. You know, there were two cringe moments in this episode. That wasn't it. I'll bring you up the cringe moment when we get to it. But also, you know, he has the fear of the ceremony. I'm just going through emotions here. Sadness. He's crying in the shower. Apparently, he told Nurse Chapel, and disgust, utter disgust of having to actually do this ceremonial dinner. So let's pivot real quick. And I got to go to you for this one, Kyle, because I know you hate it when someone's being a jerk. So let's talk about Nurse Chapel trying to get into this fellowship from the Vulcan science group. I think I'm saying it wrong, but just this dude that's giving her this interview is just being like a utter jerk. Thoughts on that scene, and just let's just elaborate a little bit on Nurse Chapel in this episode.
Okay, can I also comment on her follow up scene with him?
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right, so if you look at it from someone who is a pure Vulcan, I would think while we are saying he was a jerk, and yes, he did come across as a jerk, I think that was just your traditional Vulcan, here's your interview, it's here's what I got, blah, blah, there's, you know, we're not making you feel good, it doesn't matter how you feel, blah, blah. So as far as him being a jerk in Vulcan standards, maybe not so much. In human standards, was he an a-hole? Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. But what I loved about it at the end was not only did she say, okay, it really doesn't matter what your opinion is, it's more so as, you're interested in what I just said? Well, why don't you apply to come talk to me soon?
Yeah.
That's what I love.
Go read my paper.
Go read my paper.
Yeah, a good winning moment for Chapel there.
But as part of your other question, you know, what did I think about her? I think it is something that Larry mentioned before we started recording that my brain keeps having to gel with itself is this presentation of this awesome character that we're seeing now. And if we were to go back, and admittingly, it was recorded in a different time, we've said that, but the characterization of her before felt like, let me bat my eyes and be there for the male characters and service them however, you know, let me bring you this and bring you that and listen to you this and listen to you that, which is not what this character is. And I'm having trouble gelling the two of them. Curious what you guys think.
Yeah, it is hard to gel the two. And honestly, and I hate to say it because it kind of sounds bad, but I've kind of, because I've been going back to watch TOS a lot lately, and other than seeing Major Barrett, Nurse Chapel pop up in those episodes, I've kind of totally replaced her character with this new one. I know, blasphemy, everybody, but man, this new fresh take of this Nurse Chapel, I never saw it coming, but I love every minute of it. I love her tenacity. And even the hilarity we get of this love she has for Spock, which, you know, that's the constant between both of the Nurse Chapels, the love she has for Spock. And lo and behold, we get to see it play out a little bit in this series. So, yeah, I'm totally digging this version of Nurse Chapel.
So may I ask you a question to tie into what you just said? Do you think you're watching this? And I'm thinking the answer is by default is going to be yes, but I still want to ask this question. Do you think watching Strange New Worlds is layering additional layers onto the character so that when you do go back and watch the original series, you're marrying the two versions together? And I think that's what you kind of just said, maybe.
Well, I want to hear Larry's opinion on this, because for me, I'm almost seeing Strange New Worlds as a totally different thing. Now, I know it's in the same timeline. I know these characters got to get to this point. For me, Pike might be the one constant that fits in that perfectly, but everybody else seems so different than what we know. I mean, Spock too. I'll say Spock as well. But other than that, to me, it's just like totally a different side of things. Larry, you have thoughts on that question?
See, I'm the opposite. For me, it really does layer a lot of it, because I go back and I look, and the thing between Chapel, I want to touch on Chapel and Spock, as I just told you guys before we recorded, I had to check myself because I was doing that thing that fans do too, where I was going, well, this isn't even the same character. Because the other chapel was yelling and screaming, and she was so afraid, and she was cringing. And Captain Kirk came over and grabbed her, talking about what a little girl's made of, where mm-hmm. we meet her fiance. And this chapel is just knocking out Klingons. Just yeah. bow, one punch, knocked out. And then I had to check myself, and I said, you know what? This is a new character, because the way they portrayed her before was stereotypical of how women were portrayed at that time. So I don't want to be grounded in, I want to still love Trek from the past, but also, you know, not be grounded that this is the only way to play this character.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what else is awesome. Now, we always had that tension between Chapel and Spock on the original show. This is yep. where I'm saying, for me, it's layering.
Yeah.
Because now it makes perfect sense, does it not?
It does.
Of yeah. why there was such awkwardness between them. Because mm-hmm. they'd had a thing. And it didn't work out, obviously. But they still had to work together. And there's still lingering feelings. It perfectly tied in.
And we don't see how far the fling goes yet.
No.
Well, can it go much further? Let's be honest. Can it go?
Well, for T'Pring was, she was amazing. The actress that plays T'Pring.
She's great.
And for me, for years, we always were like, oh man, T'Pring did Spock wrong, man. He come back and she done got another dude and forced him to fight to the death. What's up with that? But that layers that too. When we come around and think, now, guess what? Spock was the jerk in a lot of this.
Man, you guys have talked me down.
Because she was waiting for him, and he was off doing this thing. He had this thing with Chapel. Wherever that leads us, we will see. But just think about, what did T'Pring say to him? It was beautiful what she said. She said, Spock, I accept all of you, Vulcan and human. And see, we kind of presented T'Pring as this kind of cold-hearted, but this side we see T'Pring went through some stuff with Spock.
And she had she was basically going against her parents,
which marry Spock. Yes.
And, you know, I was saying a mother and her son, but this is a mother and her daughter. And, you know, dad seems to be okay with things, but mom is very much set against it.
Man, she is the worst.
I love the dad. Because we have seen that in shows, but I can't remember what show, but there was another show where the same thing, whatever the wife said, the husband went along with, you know, the wife is like, oh, he's like, the husband's like, oh, this tastes delicious. I think it was all right. Yes, you're right. It wasn't prepared very well.
Yes, Savette, I think is his name. And oh man, did you see the look on Pike's face when they didn't want to eat his food? He was so hurt.
Oh yeah, he was wanting to say some stuff.
Oh man, and you know, I kind of see this episode also as what's that movie with Sydney? Is it Sydney Poitier? It's like a guess who's
coming. Look who's coming to guess.
It's kind of a twist on a look who's or guess who's coming to dinner. We learned T'Pring's mother has always despised humans, therefore Spock being half human. Always despised him. And in the end, it was just cool to me how it was Spock's determination, even as a full-fledged human, to please T'Pring is what won her over. And you got to give it up to Amanda Grayson in this episode. She arrives on the ship.
Off the chain.
And Spock has the beanie on, which I thought was on the Scully. Thought that was hilarious. I want one of those, by the way. Apparently Pike has one too, or so he said. But man, she just comes on, take charge, says, okay, we're gonna do what humans do, we're gonna lie, we're gonna put on a ship-wide deception to try to get this ceremonial dinner to go well. Thoughts on Amanda Grayson coming back from Discovery over to come in and whip Spock into shape for this?
Loved her. Loved her 100%. I followed this actress for a long time, ever since Not Just Another Teen Movie way back when.
Oh, wow.
And I loved her. You were talking about Pike. I love that little part with Pike. She says, "We're going to teach you how to lie, Spock, with Captain Pike's help. Do I have a choice in the matter? No, you do not." I was like, he's the captain of the starship. He's helpless.
Yeah, man, it's almost like they were doing some of these comedy bits organically, because there was this one part where when Amanda Grayson first gets on the ship in the transporter room, and Pike tries to leave and the door wouldn't open for him. Look at the scene again.
Yeah.
He's just like looking around like, what the heck's going on? It's hilarious, dude.
See, I added another layer to that entire do I have a choice? You do not. And no spoilers here, but after her appearance with Sarek on Discovery, I'm like thinking to myself, you being Pike were partly responsible for a family member of mine going away for all intents and purposes. Do you have a choice? No, you it's absolutely payback. Do not. Yep, payback.
Oh, and I want to mention, like, the skull cap. I know we've seen it in other episodes, but I think City on the Edge of Forever is where my first time I remember doing the skull.
Yeah, I'm watching it right now. I always play the episode while we're talking on the big screen in case it's something references. And it's just as funny right now as what you're describing.
and you talk about Spock eating meat, that being a thing. Spock lying. He does a lot of it in this episode. A lot of lying.
Let me tell you, anybody who says, when we get those fans and this snarkiness and people say, "Well, it's not my Spock." The other day, somebody was talking about this and they showed the episode I hadn't thought about in a while where they go down to the planet. Clarence, you know the one where they get hit with the spores.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was just watching. Tasha reviewed that recently, too.
Yeah. And Tasha did it. And he's in the tree and he's hanging upside down. And Kirk comes up and says, "Mr. Spock, I paged you." He said, "I heard you, Captain. I didn't want to come." Oh, he said, "I didn't want to come, Jim."
Yeah.
And that smile on his face.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Honestly, that, speaking of the title Among the Lotus Eaters, that episode could have been named Among the Lotus Eaters if you're looking at the actual story. Is it the Odyssey? Yeah, the Odyssey. That's kind of mirrors that episode more. But yeah, so many great things about this episode, man. I loved how, man, it's such a meta layer on all of this. We have Spock playing Ethan Peck, playing Spock, playing a human, trying to play a Vulcan. And it's so crazy that so many of the things they employed for him to pull off being a Vulcan is things he has to do every day just to play the character Spock. You know, the tone, the fake ears, and just even faking the mind mill. So all these things he has to do just to play the character is another layer back to it as he tries to be a human being a Vulcan. So, man, so good.
And the scene where they being part of the crew are telling him how he sounds.
Yes.
That was priceless.
That was good. I was going to say, it's like right now the scene that's on this plane is when his mom comes on and he's telling her he's had the accident gave him muscle spasms. And he's like, he's like, "Tell him I can't do it." It was like, oh, so you know, they ad-libbed a bunch of this. Yeah, I bet
it seems money. Like it. Man, Ethan Peck, he showed out in this episode. This even though it's uncharacteristic for Spock, he showed out in this episode. I loved it. Loved it so much.
So while we're talking about Spock, can I ask you guys about where I think it fell apart a little bit in the logic and see what you guys think? Because it deals with Spock.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So does the absence of his Vulcan biology take also away all the training that he has received across his lifetime that should also be a part of him, regardless of Vulcan or human?
To a certain extent, I would probably equate this to a child being raised very religiously, can't do anything, and then he goes off to college and the floodgates are open. But the floodgates are his emotions.
Gotcha.
So he's in his Vulcan discipline. He's been so refrained from expression, from smell, taste, a lot of, you know, love in some sense. And the floodgates are now open and he has nothing holding him back and he's going to do what he do. And I loved it.
Okay. Well, I'll buy that.
Do you remember All Our Yesterdays?
Yes.
And when they go back in time, that's the one, Kyle, they go back in time, McCoy and Spock. And basically he feels himself reverting to what Vulcans were that far in the past. Okay. That was a good point, you know, right there. You know, he ate meat. He got emotional. It was losing control. That didn't make as much sense to me as what happened in this. In this, I felt, you know, he's half human. And some of the best moments from the original Star Trek was when Spock let that human side, when he's in the room and he's crying.
Yeah.
And, you know, when he comes to Jim and says, you know, I can't even express friendship to you and how much I care for you as a friend. You know, those were like gold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed.
Good point. Good point.
So I'm going to try to pick up a few comments real quick. Rittany says, y'all better stop hating on Lower Decks.
Sorry.
That show got my teenage son into Star Trek.
That's Touché. Them, not me. Touché.
That was me. That was me. I wasn't. No. That was all me. And I do apologize. I still don't like it, but I do apologize.
Speaking of that, Larry, me and you are going to have to go back and finish up season 3, which we didn't finish on this channel. So we only got 2 episodes in. So maybe me and you can team up to finish season 3 of Lower Decks.
Yeah.
Tasha says, turn your brain off and enjoy the ride. We kind of talk about some of the logic of the episode in the Kirkovans. Agreed. Wingray says, I wish we had a scene between Spock and Una. I feel like they were set up to being close in the short tricks, but they haven't shared much time together since. Yeah, I kind of agree with that. They haven't been together as much. Seemed like when we usually see Spock on the bridge, she's not there or vice versa. So, yeah, I totally agree. And yeah. So let's move on. I want to talk a little bit about the Kirkovans, and we brushed on them a little bit earlier, but they're an interdimensional race and their names are simply yellow and blue for the two characters we got introduced to.
They are the Amazons of aliens. So talking to them is like talking to Amazon when you have to talk to their online thing. Oh. It's like, yes, what you wanted was sent and it's on the way. No more need to call back.
Yeah, remediation was made. No further contact is necessary. Exactly.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Leave me alone.
We rerouted. No further necessary, meaning don't call me.
Yeah. But one thing I really thought about when you think of these aliens who possess such advanced medical technology, I said, what if we brought Pike here instead of sending them back to the Telosians? What if we brought Pike here and just threw him in the hole and and let him come out, you know, all whole again after his accident? Possible? I don't know.
We'll see. No. He's got to go in the chair, man.
He can go in there, but then afterward, we didn't see this part. You know, okay, I'll quit.
There's always an out. Don't go down that
rabbit hole, Clarence. Listen, you have not read all that. Trust me, they have rescued Pike and cured him. He's been tortured by the Klingons while he was in the chair. Books and novels and comic books, man.
Yeah.
Trust me.
I'm late on this one, huh? Yeah. But I do think that those aliens could have an impact later somehow. We'll probably never hear from them again, but just think they're very interesting. Very interesting. Mm.
Let me mention this real quick because I will forget it if I don't mention it. I do find it interesting that they keep dropping Pelia's name in every episode. Did you notice that they dropped her name again?
I did not. We didn't see her either, did we?
No, we didn't see her, but when Amanda first arrived, she asked about her.
Yes.
Yeah, because remember she said she knew Amanda
man that comes on a ship and we don't even see Pelia. Why would they do that to us?
It's just weird.
Huh. Huh.
Yeah. Makes you think, don't it?
It really does. So, guys, I think I've kind of went through most of the notes I had about this episode. Again, you know, a good play on the Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. Great to see Spock show his human side in full force, fully unleashed. What's that Pixar movie with joy and all the other emotions in it? Inside Out, you know, Inside Out with Spock a little bit. Amanda Grayson as well. I loved it all. Any other thoughts about this episode before we kind of wrap up and give our ratings?
I will say this. This episode made me very happy. It was like just, that's what we watch Star Trek for, you know? Yes. I don't want to soapbox it, but that's what we watch it for these great stories and these great characters. And when they sit there and make you smile and make you happy, isn't that what it's supposed to be?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's something about the character development in this episode or this show period. But particularly in this episode, we got a lot of development for Spock, but it was pertaining to the plot. For Chapel, but it was pertaining to the plot, you know, and a lot of people fuss about the crying or whatever in Discovery, but we got so much emotion. I mean, it was an emotional episode on the face of it, but we got so much emotion in this episode, but it didn't ever feel, for me, it didn't ever feel like it was over the top. I mean, a lot of the emotion was just in glances, in moments shared between these characters. And Chapel just coming to, I got your pills or your medicine or whatever she said when she interrupted the ceremony. Just great. That's what great writing does.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, and you've hit on it, is great writing is you don't notice why these things happen. You don't have to be just shown, hey, look, I'm crying. You know, you're crying because you feel that.
Yeah.
And if anybody ever tells you, talk about over the top, then they clearly have not watched the original series a lot. Because over the top was just a normal day.
Yeah.
You know, remember, my favorite thing, Over the Top, William Shatner, where he's talking about how the Enterprise, and she takes and takes from me and gives nothing. And I was just like, this is not. I'm only 10, but this is not good.
Oh, man. Yeah. I, you know, again, I've been going back to watch a lot of TOS. It's just so many parts of that I cringe, but I laugh too because it's kind of cool. But yeah, Kirk has some great moments at TOS.
You need to watch, you still need to watch Spock's Brain again.
Do I really? I don't want to go back and watch that.
You know
that.
What, though? I got to be honest, though. As cheesy as it is not the worst episode. It's often, in my opinion, I don't know what is the worst episode, but it's not that one. I know
just saw my worst episode. I can't remember the name. I can give you two. I'm going to hit you in the chat later. I give you two that are my worst by far.
Okay.
But yeah, let's go ahead and get ratings for this episode, guys. I will go first. I love this episode. And we didn't talk about the things that made me cringe that I didn't like.
Okay.
So there's going to take it down a little bit. The namesake of the episode, Charades, I believe they could have gave Pike something a little more brilliant to say than ancient Earth tradition charades. And I didn't like that. That was just kind of cheesy to me.
It was cheesy.
Yeah. Did not like that. And it was something else too that felt kind of weird. I can't think of right now. But yeah, for that, I can't give it a 5. So I'm going to go with about a 4.8. I really love this episode. Cal Jones, what did you think?
I enjoyed it for all the reasons you guys said. I don't know if I can go as high as a 4.8. And I'm going to go with the number that just popped into my head of a 4.3.
All right, Mr. Jones, 4.3. What about you, Larry?
I'm right there with you. I give it a 4.8. There was my only cringe thing is I thought the scenes where they were doing the joke where they were all hanging out and he didn't get the jokes, right?
Yeah.
And then he did get the joke. I thought that went on a little bit too much where he's just laughing uncontrollably. And I went,
hey, man, he was drunk.
I'm laughing at this right now, not with it.
Yeah.
But it was a phenomenal episode to me.
Yeah, and I like kind of the opposing, not opposing forces, but the moment when they're in the interdimensional area, whatever you want to call it, the volume. And Chapel has to tell Yellow why she's close to Spock. And she just tells Ortegas and Uhura to turn around while she confesses her undying love. Just like Helga on Hey Arnold, she just confessed. And yeah, I love that, man. So many great points in this episode. And picking up a few comments up from the chat. Wingray says, I saw someone connecting them to the aliens who built the station in Enterprise Dead Stop. I'm not sure what that's referring to. You know that, Larry?
No.
Is Dead Stop the name of the episode? Help me out here, Wingray. Redney says they should have fixed the Borg. I agree. And Tasha says, hey, Tasha, hope you're feeling better. Says Pele was doing something with Dilithium. Maybe we'll hear about that next. Maybe we will. And also Wingrace says, I think this is the second favorite of the season, just behind Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah. I absolutely love this episode. Redney says she's giving it a 5.5 and I didn't have a problem with anything in the episode. What about our other members in the chat? What do you think about this episode? What's your rating for this episode? Listeners, what is your rating for this episode? You can send that in to fans@discussingtrek.com or hit us up at Discussing Trek on any and all social medias. Guys, do you have anything else before we sign off?
I'm good. Just loving this season.
Well said, and I agree.
Agreed. And until next time, guys, live long and prosper. Thanks for listening to the Discussing Trek podcast. For more information, go to discussingtrek.com/subscribe.
You've been listening to the Discussing Network. Find out more at discussingnetwork.com.